The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B money! We up! Thanks. Jay Valentine, we are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast.
Yes,
the authority on all things R&B. See, y'all thought we was old. Y'all thought that we wasn't tapped in with the youth. You understand what I'm saying?
Relax, Unc.
Huh?
Relax, Unc.
You know what? Unc is still tapped in with the youth movement. The undercurrent is moving this thing. Our bright future is in the building. We're talking about talent off the charts. Beauty off the charts. She's got everything happening, and we're going to get it to her. I sound youthful because I am youthful because youth is in the building. Give it up to Justine Skye in the building. Come on, y'all.
Hi.
Yeah. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. I feel great. I've just been in such a chill place. I know when I came in here, you're like, you came in here all chill, but that's how I am. Life is just good, and I feel happy. I don't get too excited. Mm-hmm. I don't get sad so much anymore. I'm just chilling.
Just found cooling. A good balance.
Things are,
I'm really good. As you can see, I'm always happy.
Yeah.
I'm always happy.
Always. Always.
And we're happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for, you know, taking the time to, you know, because I know you're moving and grooving. No, last time I saw you, you know, you was in Paris, just doing your thing.
Living
my
best life.
Week, wearing your fashion, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Being the life of the party. We were at a party.
Mm-hmm.
We were at Kanye's party.
Yeah.
Out there.
And, yeah.
We were just
it was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting is a great word.
It was definitely interesting.
It was a great word. Yeah.
I wasn't there.
But you know me, I was in and out, so.
Yeah, I was there. You know, my kids were singing the choir and part of the show. And then there was a rave.
Then there was a rave.
The and DJs
I'm
were fire.
I'm a raver, but not that rave.
Yeah, the DJs were fire, though.
No, the DJ was cool.
They had like, because they had like, I guess like.
But I, you know what? I didn't even stay long enough to like actually experience what the mm-hmm. DJs were doing, to be quite honest. I just like, I was also exhausted because I was out there for a while too. So I was just like, I just came to peep the scene.
Yeah, you were just in Paris for a minute, just relaxing.
Because I don't get to spend much time out there. I feel like because I'm always working and I have things here to do like in the States. So I don't get to go to Europe a lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe like once a year. Mm-hmm. Maybe. So especially since like COVID and all of that. So it was really nice to be out there and just experience all the restaurants mm-hmm. and see some friends that I haven't seen in a while. And
how many times have you been to Paris?
Three.
Three times. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel? Because I know as an R&B singer, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. going out there and especially in that overseas market, like they're like, there's a different kind of love and appreciation for what we do over there. And I didn't go in my younger years.
I think in Europe, honestly, in a lot of places, I just did like a couple back-to-back interviews yesterday with some Asian markets and outlets out there. And like, I think because there's so many different genres of music here, like in the States, and artists, like so many more artists here. I don't know, maybe I'm like speaking just prematurely, but there's just such a different level of appreciation for music overseas. Mm-hmm. I feel like here in the States, we're just used to it. We expect it. We get over it quickly. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, we created it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like in Europe, like in London and in Paris, like when they get us, mm-hmm. they're like, please don't leave. Or like, and they just like are more focused on, I don't know what it is, but like even in London too, like just mm-hmm. when I have worked in London with producers and songwriters out there, it's just like a different level of like focus that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, what was my guy? What was you talking about? Was it Dave? Dave Russell? Wasn't Dave Russell from England? Engineer?
Yeah.
Underdogs?
Uh-huh.
But just, he's his guy. And then is Richard Furch from London? Tyrese's yes. guy?
Yeah. I don't know if he's from London, but he's from Europe.
He's from, sure. He's from UK, yeah. Like uh-huh. for sure. But like, even just
that's
those
a different,
two,
appreciation.
Like different appreciation mm-hmm. and different approach sure. to like how they sonically make things feel.
I mean, low key, they're kind of killing it when it comes to like the music and then even the acting.
Even the
too.
Acting. No, they're on fire.
I'm like, dude.
I'm wondering when they're going to let a black American play
an
a
character.
Black Englishman.
Mm. Gotta nail that
when
accent.
When is that going to happen?
You do
gotta
have to
nail that accent.
I'm not going
to
lie.
Not an actor,
as
so
Americans, we are
saying.
Spoiled.
Yeah.
We're very spoiled.
Because like, here's the thing, right? So we don't, as the spoiled speaks, we don't necessarily take that big of an interest in other cultures.
People's culture.
You know what I'm saying? Because
but I think times are changing.
Yeah, we're in a sense, we've always in a sense been at the forefront. We've been the leaders of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In terms of culture and swag and all of these things and entertainment for that matter.
So
you know
you
what I'm
don't
saying?
Think Denzel could have been James Bond?
I mean, I think Denzel is also Jesus. So you asking the wrong question. I mean, I'm biased.
Yeah.
You know what Denzel I'm
saying?
Is the GOAT.
But that's what I'm saying.
Denzel can do whatever he wants.
So why Denzel?
If Denzel
get a shot at James Bond.
But Denzel
want maybe
to.
Did he want?
Did he
maybe
want? I don't
he
know. Hey,
want
Denzel,
to.
Did you want to be James Bond?
I saw him the other night. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, subtle flex. Subtle flex.
Well, you niggas was already talking about Paris. Now you talking about yeah.
No. I mean, I didn't. I
this
saw,
is a full
oh,
champagne.
Well, I was with Denzel Washington.
No, I wasn't with him. Okay, let me correct that. I mean, I've hung out with him before. Shout out to Jamie Foxx. You know what I'm saying? I was in the right room. And he was over there sitting on the floor. And then I was sitting right here, two rows back from the floor. And then he saw me. And then I said, I hit him with that. He said, he gave me that. I said,
What is that?
That means I see you, young fella.
Black people saw, you don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. He said, I see you, young fella.
Nah, black people saw. What's up, my nigga?
No, it's just a head nod.
It was far away.
This is okay, you're in the building.
Don't try to diminish. Don't try to take
she
away.
She tried to tell me it was black people talking.
My Denzel. Don't try to take my Denzel moment away from me. He saw me.
You got
he seen me.
You got
he
it.
Knew me.
Denzel for
said, you know what's so crazy?
James Bond.
I had a moment like that with Beyonce in Paris.
Wow.
It was so crazy because I was with my friend and she was like, let's go say hi to Beyonce because she had like a Renaissance Club Renaissance in Paris. And I was like freaking out, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, you know what? Let me just like, I'm not going to be invading the space. Like, I'm so happy to be in this room. Mm-hmm. And so my friend's like, let's go say hi to B. And I'm like, I don't think she like knows who I am. Like, I don't feel comfortable just walking up to her like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And as soon as I said that, she like walked towards me and said, hey. And I was like, I literally go, I go, oh my God, this is such a crazy party. Like, whoa. Right? It's crazy. It's her party. I'm like, it's crazy. And she's like, hey. And I was like, okay, bye. I just didn't know what the hell to say. I was like,
that is fun. It's such a crazy party, right?
And then I was just lit the rest of the night. I literally have a video on my phone of me screaming in the street. Someone said something to me. I was like, don't make me call Beyonce.
Don't make me call Beyonce. Did y'all switch numbers?
That's my
No.
Like, I don't even think Beyonce has a phone. Like,
you know, I don't think Beyonce has a phone.
Like, you can't contact her. You have to call someone else.
You can't call Beyonce.
I hope Beyonce has a phone, man.
I think it's like.
I think she does.
It's like even Beyonce, even people on that level, you'd be surprised how human cool and shit, regular man. And cool they are. Yeah. But I'm so cool. Even when I saw Denzel, like I've seen him before, but I doubted if he remembered me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it was still like, you know, he was the one guy that I was kind of like a little nervous about.
So you don't think Denzel heard Sex, Love, and Pain?
I hope so. You know what I'm saying? I hope so. You know, I hope that's what that head nod was. Heard you. I like your tunes.
I like your tunes.
I like your tunes. You know what I'm saying? But it's like you never know. But it's like
it's just like a respect thing too. Like I think it's awesome when there's people that, you know, we either put on like such a high pedestal or we like admire like in their craft, and to have that sort of like recognition as artists as well too, it just gives us that, you know, like pat on the shoulder to be like, I see you, and like you are like.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. I treat everybody the same. I don't know any other way.
No, I get that.
No, we're not saying to treat people, but
I'm saying in reverse, right?
Yeah, in reverse. It's awesome to have that kind of like, it's not cosign, but just that like, you
doing your thing. I see you doing your thing. I'm up here doing my thing, but I see you
doing your thing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, just in meeting people of, you know, of all classes, I think especially people who have become very famous, they need normalcy.
Yeah, 1,000%.
You know what I mean? And I think that it's watching people freak out sometimes, kind of like for them, it's like, damn, like
I just
kind of wanted to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you know, shit. I remember my first time when I moved to LA and I'm 18. I meet my idol, Babyface.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what's up, nigga? And Damon Thomas was like,
you can't do that.
And Face was like, what's up, man? Nice to meet you. I'm like, hey, man.
Everybody's cool.
It's Babyface, dog.
But he's also kind of skewed. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, this guy was hanging out with Michael Jackson at 9.
No, but that's so not even, that's not what I was saying. I was just saying, for me, like, working with Timbaland or him, like, acknowledging that he, sorry.
You good?
Stop calling me. just him being like acknowledging me as an artist just gave me that reassurance that like, because you know, as artists and just humans, we can like go through periods of like doubt or like, am I doing the right thing? Like especially me, I've been doing this for like a minute now, and like it's awesome that I'm experiencing what for me is like my first real moment where so many people are like discovering my music because of a platform like TikTok.
No, it's been rediscovery for you.
The song came out almost 10 years ago now, and it's like people are listening to it like it's a brand new song, which for me is just like, wow, like good music is timeless. It doesn't matter if it came out in 2014 or whatever. And so I already was in that space before my song Collide started to gain this recognition on TikTok, but it just gave me that extra like pat on the back, and sometimes you need that in life.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure like people didn't even like know that, but I was like going through a space of like, is this the right thing that I should be doing? Like, should I be doing music? Should I like think about something else? I talked myself off that ledge and I was like getting back into that space before this happened, but it really just like reassured me. This year started off like so amazing, and I've just been like just grateful for like everything that's been happening.
So let's get into that. Let's get into the beginning, as Tank would like to say, where it all started.
Where it all started.
Because I mean, I know you from being a very small kid. Because of your mom, you know what I mean? Your mom is my homie, been my homie for a long time. amazing attorney, executive, all the cool shit. Shout out to Nova. I think we locked her out because we want her daughter to feel comfortable.
Her own moment.
And have her moment. Don't be here like, ah! It's not your mom's friend doing the episode, okay? All right? But let's start. Let's start from the beginning with you. Like, where this all kicked off. Or how would you say it? What's your intro to it?
When was the first time someone said to you, you have something special? Or you said to yourself, I think I have something special.
Oh, I always knew.
Okay.
From like elementary school.
Yeah.
It was right in here, though. It's...
Matter of fact.
No, I just knew that I wanted to be an artist. I knew that I wanted to, whether it was like, I was very into like musical theater, like when I was younger, because I was like, I want to be an actress too, and I want to be a singer. Like, I know I can sing. And I remember I was graduating elementary school, and they were giving out like the best singer of the year or of the class. And it
was a performance school or no?
It was just a public school, okay, but they had like the performance arts. Like, I went to school in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So, and they gave it to this girl, and she didn't sing at all. Like, she didn't even really talk. So I was so confused as to how she could win singer of the year. And I was furious. And it just like lit a fire underneath me.
That's your villain moment?
Yeah, I was like, okay. I was like, all right. Okay. So then in middle school, I went to performing arts school in Brooklyn. And then I was like, I'm going to be in the choir. And I went so hard to try to be in the choir. They didn't let me in. What? They didn't let me in the choir. I don't know. Me and school just don't have a good like a history.
Mm-hmm.
Just me and the public school system.
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, well, like, forget you then. And then I went into theater. And then every like time they only did musicals, and I would just go so hard, and like, because my theater teacher knew that I could sing, so he would always want to give me the singing parts. And the choir teacher, who was also involved in it, she hated on me for whatever reason. And I was just like, well, man, now I'm the ladybug. So what are you going to do about it? And it was just always
I'm the
like,
ladybug.
And
enjoy just, that.
Now I'm the ladybug. So the ladybug's the star, yes?
Of I this love
it. She was, it was like, well, the ladybugs were kind of like the dream girls. And I was so like, And so that was like a full, I don't know where these schools get all this money to put these plays on in like Brooklyn, but that was a full production. And so then I went to high school and I got into the choir, but the teacher did not like me.
What
still.
Were you doing to these teachers?
I just wanted to sing. And so I'm just like, he would never give me a solo.
Were you walking in like, I'm here?
Well, why would I not be confident?
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right.
There it is.
No,
but I was
confidence,
just like.
Confidence, yes, but you got to understand. I mean, obviously, you're an adult now. But as a kid, you don't understand this, is that most people who are teachers are people who really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Something happened and now they still love it and they're teaching. So when you walk in with all that confidence, ladybug.
Ladybug.
They like, hey, man.
Hey.
Get her the fuck out of here, right? Hey. I ain't got time for this shit. Yeah.
No, my high school.
Stunt on me.
Yeah. My high school choir teacher was definitely like bitter. But then we were learning a lot of like music theory, like things that I probably don't like incorporate into like my life now. But I just wanted to like, we were singing opera. So I was like, he was like, you're going to be a tenor. And I'm like, well, I can sing everything. I was like, well, I wanted to be a soprano. And then he was like, no, you're a tenor. You're there. And I'm just like, that's crazy. And I was like, well, actually, I can sing baritone too. So like, I was just going
to. You were a mess. Yeah. It's starting to come out. Yeah, the more she talks,
I get it.
It's starting to come out.
No, I wasn't saying it like that. I'm saying it now like that. But I was just like, hey, like, I can do more than just this. Like, don't box me in.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And I'm just like,
which is fair too. Which is fair. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want
to
be boxed in.
I guess maybe I was trying to be, like, a teacher's pet. Because I just wanted,
just
like, the parts.
It the wrong way.
But he just didn't. But also, he was just, like, angry. He was just an angry man. And so,
angry man.
So then the one time he gave me a solo, he knew I was sick.
Oh, that's
he knew I was sick. And then I remember I was sitting in, like, the courtyard or whatever. We had a performance. And I cracked. And I just cried. And I ran away. Like, my voice cracked. And I just cried. And I ran away. And then I was like, another villain story was invented. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This will never happen to me again. And so then I got a vocal coach and my mom, like, I was like, this is what I want to do. Regardless of all that work that I did, like, I went to, like, summer programs or whatever. But then I started to, I asked my mom, I was like, I want to be a singer. And she was like, you know, most parents in the industry, they're just like, no. They're like, I'm not, I don't want you to be a part of this. It's like a brutal experience. And they don't want their kids to have to go through these things because they see it firsthand.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, whatever. Now I'm on the internet. I'm on Tumblr. I'm developing my own, like.
You go find it yourself.
Yeah. Wow. I'm on my own. I create my own world and this whole community of like New York Tumblr kids. And we're just like running around the city. Like now I can hang out in the city. And I'm like.
How old are you at this time?
I'm like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And I'm no longer, oh no, I was still in school at the time. But I was like, I was in high school, but like 10th grade. Mm-hmm. And then I started to develop like a fan base pretty much on Tumblr by just, you know, just being weird and quirky and experimenting with my look. And then like I started to make covers on YouTube and just singing and like showing that I can sing. Mm-hmm. And then people started to like find out. And I think I was at a BMI panel one time with my mom, and because she would always bring me to these events, and they were doing a Q&A, and it was like Lorianne Gibson and like a bunch of other people. I can't remember like who else was up there. I just remember, because how could you ever forget Lorianne? Mm-hmm. But so
you don't remember Bonecat.
Yeah,
you remember Bonecat.
Mm-hmm.
So I stood on the line for the Q&A, and I was like, can I sing? Like, this seems like the right room to just be singing.
You had you didn't tell your mother that you were about to do this at all.
No, yeah. And so I just stood in the line and I was like, can I sing? And then they were like, yeah. And I sang this song called Black and Gold by Sam Sparrow. And then everyone, there was like a room full of people who wanted to figure out how to be a part of the industry, mm-hmm. whether it's producer or mm-hmm. like executive or whatever. And so many people then like ran up to me and my mom after, like, do you have a manager? Like, do you have a producer? Do you have a, like, what are you doing? Yeah. And then my mom was like, okay. And then as I started to like build this fan base on Tumblr, people started to like reach out and wanted to work with me. And so my mom then put me in with someone that she knew and trusted at the time. And I started to just like make original music, mm-hmm. like, you know, work with some writers and producers. And I was still in high school, but then it was becoming difficult. So then I started to get homeschooled, mm-hmm. because like I would be in studio really late and we were trying to get me a record deal. And it was so funny because I would go to all the labels and like, now that I think about it, I'm so embarrassed, but I would be like in front of like Lior Cohen and like all these, I think even L.A. Reid, and like dancing and singing and like doing this whole stupid little show. And they were like, she's cute. And my like spirit was so crushed because I'm so young, just like standing in front of these people like, mm-hmm. pick me. And then they're like, no. And I'm like, all right, fine. And I just developed. Actually, I was younger than that. I was younger. I wasn't like 17 at that time. I was probably like 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
So looking back on it, would you do that again?
No.
Why not? Because we want the audience to understand the process.
Well, also times are so different now. I think that when I was first starting, like there was still this, I guess, old school mentality at like record labels and like artist development. And like that's not necessarily a thing mm-hmm. anymore, because we have platforms like TikTok or Instagram right now, and in YouTube, where so many people are kind of just becoming like overnight like sensations. Just so
do you feel like that's good or bad though, or both?
I think that it's both. I think that there's pros and cons to it, because now, I mean, it's kind of just strange because everyone like thinks that they're like a rapper and an artist, and I think that it's great that people, like, obviously everyone loves music, it's the universal language, so people mm-hmm. if you have the ability to make music, like, why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And then there's platforms where like it can reach people, hundreds, millions of people, like in a second, so why would you not share that? And I think that there's a difference between people who just enjoy like making music and then people who like want to be a star,
right?
Because even And I learned that very early on, like just with working with a bunch of songwriters, because I'm like, these people are so talented. Like, why aren't they like celebrities? Right. Why aren't they like bigger? Like, why aren't they superstars? And it's just everyone doesn't want to be that, you mm-hmm. know, like you can be talented and creative and like have all these ideas, but not everybody to be in front of the camera and to be like the face of it all. Like, you really have to have tough skin. Right. And that's what I think is a dangerous part of that people aren't really like aware of, especially like the kids who like are just like putting out songs online. And like when it comes to, like, mental health, it's like they're not prepared for that. Like, not everybody has that thick of skin to be in this industry to that capacity.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, I would kind of dare to say, I'm not sure which part you're saying you would do differently, but I think you having those moments mm-hmm. of disappointment.
Yeah.
But you still going through your routine. You still going through your act and stepping up and just, you know,
it prepared put you.
It really prepared you and hardened you in a way to where once you really get into this, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You got to have a tough outer shell to.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Those blows keep coming. They don't stop.
They don't.
Yeah. They don't stop.
Yeah.
The blows get heavier, actually.
Oh, trust me.
Yeah, yeah. As you continue to grow in this thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The bag is heavier and the losses are heavier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like you were courageous very early. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, well, my mom, she's taught me to be to be that way. But you're right, I guess. I wouldn't change anything, honestly, because everything that I went through from a young age, through this industry, through the labels that I've been at, and now being independent, like, it's all made me the woman and the artist that mm-hmm. I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, even though I got signed to the first label when I was 17, and I'm 27 now, so that's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I feel like just so refreshed and like mm-hmm. new, because I'm so much more sure of who I am just as a human mm-hmm. and as an artist, and I know what I like. And I went through all these things where I listened to everyone because I thought that they knew what was best for me. And now I'm just like, when I'm in the studio, I have just a different energy mm-hmm. and love, because there was a certain point where I just felt like I was just doing homework or doing like a science project when I was recording a song. And like whenever I would write, they would be like, oh, it's not good, it's not good, instead of like having a team around me that encouraged me to
be better and to not even
to be better
to
but
better.
To get my ideas like out
right
yeah, you know right. And I think that I don't take anything personal, obviously, like this industry, I learned that from young, and like I'm sure, like, my mom kind of, like, prepared me for that as well, too. And also tried to protect me as much as she could from the evils. But I think now, at this age that I'm at and the space that I'm in life, I'm so beyond excited. And a lot of people probably would think that at this point I'd be jaded, you know, or, mm-hmm. like, tired of it. But I have this saying where it's like, if your favorite artist gave up when things got too hard, they wouldn't be your favorite artist today. And I fully believe that. And there's mm-hmm. so many examples, like, and even artists who are just receiving their flowers for that I've been following for a while, like whether it's Doja Cat, I've been looking at mm-hmm. her since like SoundCloud days and on Tumblr and even SZA. Like I've been listening to all these art, even Kendrick, I've been listening to all these people from like The Jump and The Weeknd and mm-hmm. everyone. Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, that's why I have such a love for it, because I see like what happens when you stay the course mm-hmm. and when you fully believe in yourself and when you create a team around you that can, you know, help you bring your dreams to fruition.
Yeah. That's dope. Mm-hmm. At 27, let me think. Was I on the bench at 27? I think so.
Yeah, yeah. You have been benched.
I have been benched.
What does that mean? Benched.
Put on the shelf.
Put on the shelf.
I mean, we connected to sports.
Yeah.
Like we both grew up playing sports. So it's like everything with us with music, we look at it in a sports way too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But he was on the shelf after having a hit record, hit album, having label dispute.
Well, that's why I also, like, when I first like became independent,
mm-hmm.
I was so scared, because I'd been in Atlantic, I'd been at Rock Nation, and I'm like, what do I do? Like, how do I do this? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm.
You've been at two of the biggest.
So I'm just like, what do you, like, when you have people like Charlie Walk in your face, like, you're 3 minutes away, and like, everyone's like, you got this. And I'm like, well, now I'm independent. So, mm-hmm. And I was like, I was so scared. And I was like, how do I even like get in with producers? Like,
how did you make that turn though? What made you go from Atlantic in the Rock Nation and all of these buildings to becoming your own building?
Well, I was with Atlantic for 3 years, and you know, things weren't going as I expect them to have gone in that 3 year span. Mm-hmm. And you know, so we parted ways due to some things mm-hmm. and it was fine. And then obviously I, like, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, so we, like, and my mom's obviously from Brooklyn, so we had like connections over at Rock Nation, and
that was just like so cool to me to be like, oh my God, I'm a Brooklyn girl, yeah. Sign of Jay-Z, woohoo. And so I was there, and a lot of interesting things happened there as well too. I got to work with The Dream and Tricky on a project, mm-hmm. and it was just really an awesome experience that I learned too. I would go into that office every day like I was going to school. I'd be like, what are we doing? Yeah. Like, and after being with them for 3 years too, like I just wasn't in the place that I wanted to be yet. And so my mother and I, we just took a risk in wanting to be independent. And it was scary at first, especially financially too.
Yeah, that's the part. Yeah,
that is the toughest part of being independent, just finding.
You are the bank.
Yeah, yeah. No, you are the bank.
You are the bank.
And then building a team around you of people, because then you have to like outsource things, like a publicist. Yeah.
And it's a lot of favors.
Yeah, and it's a lot of favors. But then I realized too, we even did a song together. Remember that one time that we had that session? Put it out on SoundCloud. That was me like finding, like getting into my songwriting pocket. But it was the greatest decision I could have ever made, because it just taught me more about myself. And I also realized, like, in being an artist, like, when you're signed to a label, you're kind of, like, sheltered. You're so, like, babied. That was my experience, where it's like, your A&R is setting up the sessions for you. Like, yeah. I'm not developing relationships with these producers or these other artists that I'm working with and these songwriters. I'm just, like, showing up
it's
for work.
It's a lot of go-between.
Yeah, I'm just, like, showing up. And I'm like, that's... not, and all my peers that I'm like friends with, I'm like, that's not their experience. Like, why is that my experience that I'm just doing homework? And that's why I was like falling out of love with this whole cycle and being so disappointed when things didn't work out, where it's like now, like, I'm so proud of the work that I'm doing, regardless of like how anyone feels about it, because I know what went into this and the whole process.
You
know what?
And I don't want to interrupt you, but that's kind of crazy, right? Because most artists enjoy the pampered stage.
The coddling. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where they're being waited on hand and foot, and just, you know, make sure my per diem is, and tell them I want this at the studio. And then they just, you know, and you on the other hand are like, you didn't feel hands on enough to understand how the earth was moving around you.
Oh no, oh my gosh. One time I was like... I won't say who, obviously, but I was with an artist and I was in a session and I was like so excited. I'm like, oh my God, you have like a violinist here. Like, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to. And he was like, yeah, I'm just going to leave. And I'm like, what? You're not going to wait for the violinist to get here? Like, no, I'm done. And I'm like, you don't want to see what he's going to put on your song? He's like, no, they'll take care of it. And I'm like, you just started and this is how you're acting? Oh, this is a disaster. It was crazy. I could not believe it. I'm
there
like,
are
oh
lot
my
of
god! But
those experiences,
a lot of those.
I was like, this is crazy. Like, I want to be in the studio. I'm not leaving without
you
my
want
song.
The full experience.
Yeah, yeah, but also like, I'm not leaving without a balance of my song. I don't care who I'm with. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I now have learned that lesson where it's like, I need to leave with the bounce. I want to listen to it in the car. I want to see how it sounds. Like,
I'm leaving here with something. Sir, your session isn't paid. I don't know who's supposed to pay what, but you better put something on this floppy disk.
I also used to think, because like I was recording a bunch of songs that like I didn't necessarily have anything to do with, that I needed to, like, if I didn't finish the song in one day, that I was a failure. Like, it was so crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't finish cutting this song in like one day. I only cut one song today. Like, I'm a failure. And now that I'm like, wait, I want this to be perfect. Like, and that takes time.
I can't
just like, and sometimes it does happen where like you're in it, you catch a vibe and like you cut the song and it's like great, like the first time you cut it, but it's like, no, I want to go back. Like, but also like listening to it, I thought that like once you cut it, it's there, it's bounced, that's it.
Yeah. I learned that from Static. Like,
yeah, Static was great.
I was the guy that record 5-6 songs in a day and make the track and write it and do the whole, like, I was that guy. I'm on 1,000.
Yeah.
And I would watch Static just sit at the board and listen to a track and lay two lines and then get back in front of the board and just kind of sit, smoke a little bit, go back, lay a third line, and then, yeah, I'm gonna come back tomorrow. It's gonna be, it's coming, it's coming. Yeah. It's coming? All right.
Yeah.
And I watch him work on a song for like 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then listen to it. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna come back tomorrow. Listen to it. Come back. Listen to it. I need to switch this up. And after you're not done. And then I watch him do that. And it's why he's Static Major. It's mm-hmm. why he has the hit records that he has, because he just took his time.
He took his time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's something that's, especially with social media, because social media put a spotlight on the experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Are a spotlight on the experiences that people wanted to push out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think, even when people start doing the whole, I don't write nothing down. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are artists and writers who do that and are really good at that. But that's not for everyone.
Exactly.
You know, and I think what's been promoted is that makes me more talented mm-hmm. than such and such,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
is not the truth.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You know, like we go back and Tupac was a poet. You know what I mean? So he literally has books of poems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you have Jay-Z on the other hand that's like, listen, I get it all from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It can go both ways. Mm-hmm. And I think with the newer and the younger generation, it got put into this space of, I do it quick. Oh, you know, I do my records in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of those records sound like 15-minute records.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't care how many of them you did today.
Right.
Maybe you should have took 15 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Because anybody that's ever worked with Michael Jackson, who I will argue and fight with anyone as the greatest mm-hmm. singer, entertainer, everything of all time,
mm-hmm.
you would be in the studio with that man and might get a record done in a month.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Depending on how he, you know.
But that's why it sounds the way it does.
Yeah.
He wasn't coming out of that studio with mediocre records mm-hmm. or a mediocre feel.
Yeah.
Anything. You know what I mean? Because, yes, everything is subjective. We do mm-hmm. music. It's someone's opinion.
If it's going to be a fail, it's going to be a colossal fail.
You know what I mean?
Not a small one.
But sonically, it's going to be right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The mix is going to be right.
Yep.
They're going to make sure the words make sense next to each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, Michael Jackson wasn't just doing a vibe.
It is what.
And sometimes I personally feel like the word vibe gets thrown out as this thing of, and you said that too, of, you know, it's not judged the same. Because it's like, oh, I was just vibing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you want somebody to take their time and listen to it and pay for and all these other things that you really aren't putting your full into.
Yeah.
That's why I respect what you're saying of like, no, I want to be a full part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put in the work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I think was so special about, not this last project I put out, but the one that I did with Timbaland.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
who's my favorite producer, by the way?
Iconic.
Yeah.
And so he produced my whole album, Space and Time, mm-hmm. and we did a documentary about it that's on my YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes through the whole process of like COVID. And I was just like, I never met him before in my life, but I was obviously such a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And he'd followed me on Instagram. And so he would send me beats and then I would just like write to them and
that's
I'd
crazy.
Like be freaking out. And I would just put them on YouTube, like these 1 minute clips that we would just do side by side. And then after like the 10th one, we were just like, we have to figure out how to get to each other so we can like finish this project. And we did. And we put it out and we shot sick music videos to it and all independent. And like, I couldn't believe that.
That's crazy.
That happened. And mm-hmm. you know, like obviously people are still like discovering the project.
Yeah.
And like as people are discovering me, my music from like 9-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. There's so, always someone who hasn't heard it yet.
Exactly. And it's funny because a lot of like my fans who have heard these songs before, they're so frustrated because like, where's the new music? And I'm like, listen, there's millions of people. Like last year I had maybe like 2 million monthly listeners on Spotify, maybe like 1.6.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just checked. I have 10 million and counting.
Come on now.
Of music that's
and that's
been
just
there.
On Spotify. Like I haven't released anything new.
Yeah.
I put out a single last year, but that's it. Like I haven't put out like a new like project and I'm just like, wow, I can't believe like platforms like a TikTok can really just like,
I'll take you somewhere else.
Take you somewhere.
Yeah.
And you have ownership of all of your music now, right?
Not all of it. But that song, yeah. Okay. I was just like, because when it first started going up, I was
that's
like,
what we're gonna promote. We're gonna promote the things you own.
Yeah. Well, go listen to Dark Side.
Dark Side, right now.
Yeah.
But it was so crazy because I'm like, oh, that's so crazy. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I own that song because I did that song when I was at Atlantic.
Okay.
And so I'm just like, oh, like that's crazy. Clyde's going up. Like, I don't get anything from that. Like, woohoo! And my mom was like, actually, you do. Like, when we left Atlantic, we got that song. And I'm like, Wait, what?
Now you lit.
Yeah, now you lit.
What are you saying to me right now? Like, that's crazy.
Now you're interacting. Side by side. I'll do it. I'll do it with you. No problem.
No, so that it's.
And you have two versions of the Collide record, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's the one with Tyga, which is like the original one. And so on my project Dark Side that I just put out, it's the solo, version.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people were asking for.
Mm-hmm.
No, which I think it's cool.
I mean, like you said, that discovery is endless, and it goes back to just stay the course and do good stuff.
Because
when people accidentally hit that page or go down that rabbit hole and bump into it, you know, it's like finding a dope restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It
is. And they're like, that restaurant's been around for like however long. I was like, well, now it's my new spot.
There's always those people who are like, I've been going there. Yeah. Well, you know what? I like it now.
I like it
okay,
now.
Maybe I'll see you there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, as long as you're doing that, I feel like musically, like, you know, the sky's the limit for you. I mean, just do what feels good. Yeah, you've been doing it for a long time. I mean, you've been doing it for 10 years, which is crazy. But
longer than that. You've been doing it professionally for 10 years.
Yeah,
you've been in this thing half your life.
But, I mean, you're still extremely young.
I mean, look at SZA, dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She's, like, now a super megastar.
Listen, SZA ain't leaving the house for less than 7 figures.
Need it.
I know that because I had a conversation on the phone with Top Dog about it.
Need it.
Listen, somebody called me about SZA, like, yeah, you know, can you get to SZA? I said, I can call Top.
Yeah.
But, I called Top, said, yeah, homie. If they ain't got, I said, oh, yeah, I love this talk. Yeah. I love this talk. Hey, if you guys don't have this for SZA.
Yeah. It is what it is. She's not coming.
She's not coming, and I'm not going to make any phone call for you.
That's it.
And I love to hear that.
Yeah.
It's you know what I'm saying?
Like, for like you said. It's what she deserves.
Mm-hmm.
She's worked so hard to get to this space. Mm-hmm. And they know the type of room she gonna fill up.
Yeah, but people see, like, they just see, like, where she's at now, and they don't really, like, get to, which is why I love, like, when artists do documentaries, because you really get to, like, see their growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so beautiful, and it gives you like a different level of like appreciation and respect for them as well too. Like, people just read headlines and they just listen to a song for 2 seconds, a snippet, and like our attention spans have gotten so short. And I think that kind of sucks. Like, as like time progresses, like our attention spans just like shrink.
Mm-hmm.
And then as like, I'm so grateful for TikTok, but it's like the 1 second, like what, there was that moment of, like Steve Lacy, who's like one of my friends, and there was like obviously one of his songs went crazy super on TikTok crazy. And it was number one.
My daughter's favorite artist.
No, I love Steve.
Zoe loves Steve.
She's to like, death.
He has so many other great songs with you.
But then like everyone gets tickets for his concerts, and then like there was that one video that went around where it was like no one knew the rest of the words to the song; they just knew the hook, and they were like beating him down about that on social media. But it's just like, you guys are standing there; you should feel stupid,
right?
You guys should feel dumb that you don't know the words to this artist that you just paid however many dollars to go to their show, standing there, whatever day this is the time you wanted to waste your time coming to somebody's show that you're one of them, like, talk shit about that you don't know. It's just like, the respect for artists who like get on stage and like put this work into, like, do this, obviously, like, people, they don't care. Like, but I hope that a shift is beginning where people are becoming more just appreciative of everything.
Well, the tough part about us as entertainers is that for people, it's so disposable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For some.
And for them, for most people, it's just about the end result.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
It's just about, okay, entertain me. Mm-hmm. You know, I paid this money, entertain me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if something goes faulty within that entertainment, they could care less about that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They care less that it's not your fault, that the building couldn't house the power that is covering your LED, and then your LED goes down, and then your Pro Tools, which was running fine before sound check, all of a sudden your Pro Tools rig is on the fritz, and then your backup Pro Tools rig, it ain't running. Like, they don't care. You're standing there holding the bag like, I promise we rehearsed for 6 months for this to get this right for you. But you'll still see on the gram, the show was weak. I couldn't believe I paid. And it's like there's this disconnect with the work that we put in. Not even versus what they want, but how do you say that? Like, we're trying.
Yeah.
I promise you we are.
I think sometimes you have to say that, though.
And if it goes bad.
I think people respect that,
Yeah. And I think more artists should stand in front of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you got a bad show or you were sick or you... Now with the platforms that we have, it's nothing to go on there and say, hey, man, I had a bad night last night.
Yeah.
Or even
I'll be
like,
back, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that it's just also like... It means more, and like you develop a different connection with your audience when you are vocal about like the mess ups.
Yeah.
You know, like I was at the weekend show that he did at
when he got sick,
SoFi, and he got sick, and he was like, you know what, like I want to give you guys a great show, so I'm not gonna put you through this if I know that's not gonna be the best, and we'll reschedule it. And like I think for the most part, like your real fans. Will appreciate something like that.
Yeah.
That you want to give them the best.
Come on, fans. We're trying. We're trying our best.
But I think like real fans understand that.
Get my Twitter fingers back.
And that differentiates like the fans from just
just watching.
Yeah.
People
just
hovering.
But we need all of it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, because the business that we're in,
it's entertainment.
And it's controlled by the people. And either it's love or hate, or it's a little bit of both. But you need the people.
For me, though, I feel like I've entered a space where, like, obviously it still gets rough. Like, you know, there's comments that you see online. And, like, when you're being attacked, like, it doesn't feel good. But, and I actually, one of my fans, like, at DM'd me the other day, like, how do you do it? And I'm like, you know what? I've, like, made more of an effort to realize that at the end of the day, I am a human as well too, and just to keep good people around me. And I'm starting to do this thing too, where it's like, if I feel like I've gotten too like engulfed in my phone, like I'm just like, the way I just said, starting to do this thing as if it's not a thing. Like, I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to pick up a book and read. Like, even if I have to force myself to like remove my focus from my phone, I'm just going to so I'm always walking around with my book now. I'm just like, okay, like I'm too crazy in my phone. Dope. Like, let me just.
Because a lot of people aren't doing that.
Yeah, I'm not
doing
that.
A lot of people aren't tapping in.
I'm going to read the book on my phone.
I thought I could do that.
That's what I'm going to do.
I thought I could do that, but then I can't. Or even on my iPad, I'm like, you know, I'm going to read on my iPad.
Because an alert will come in.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, I can't. I need self-discipline.
Yeah.
Like, I really need to be more disciplined. Mm-hmm. And like, if I'm on my phone, like, I deleted like Instagram and Twitter from like my screen, but I can still like pull my search thing down and search Instagram and Twitter, and like I found myself doing that way more than if it was just on my home screen.
No, it's very, like, it's extremely addictive,
especially not good for my brain,
and especially for your generation.
Yeah,
because you grew up in it completely, right? So I know how to tap out of it because I haven't always had it,
right?
You know what I mean? Even though in our generation as well, it's still people who are addicted to it as well.
Or the constant searching your name and seeing what people are saying about you.
Your generation, it's completely...
It's like cartoons for
a
them.
It's part of your life.
Part of your everyday life.
This is what y'all do, is figuring out what's going on in the gram, getting as much foolish information as possible all day long. Like you said, it's hard not to type in your name and see what they're talking about or see what... You know, It's a process of just finding what works for you and what don't work for you. Because for some people, them being fully locked in has actually become a business.
They know how to get something out of that. Yeah.
I don't know how to get nothing out of that.
But I know so many people where it's just like, they have to be on their phone. They have to record everything. And I'm just like,
I can't do it.
Be bothered. Yeah.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do y'all ever even eat the snacks? No.
Sometimes we eat the snacks.
You want some?
No.
Sometimes we eat the snacks.
The audience don't like when Tank be on here smacking his shit.
Sometimes we eat the snack. We eat the snacks. Justine.
Where you going?
I want to know your top five. Your top five. Top five. Your top five. Justine's top five. R&B artists. R&B songs.
Sing that one again. Sing that one again.
He's
gone.
He's gone. Top five.
He's gone.
Yo, top five.
He's gone.
That hit me tripping. Top five.
Nigga, did you just yodel?
Yeah.
This nigga is out of his mind. Don't
that was kind of crazy.
Don't encourage that.
That was crazy. Good.
Your top five R&B artists right now.
Five. So this is a band.
Okay.
Their name is Salt.
Salt.
The lead singer. I think they may like switch out sometimes. I'm not too sure. I don't know like too much about it. But Cleo Soul is like the singer.
She's
of
the lead
band.
Singer.
Yeah. Okay, my favorite song is Masterpiece. So
I haven't got the songs yet.
Sorry. okay, so Salt, obviously SZA right now is going crazy. Her album is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I have to put Beyonce in there because Beyonce is just the queen of all queens.
Mm-hmm. Beehive over here.
Yes. Big beehive. Big beehive.
I think we should buy her a phone for her birthday.
You should buy her.
No, you said you wanted to call her.
are you threatening people that you would call her?
No, you don't call Beyonce. She calls you.
Yeah, there it is.
If she wants to find you, she'll find you.
Who told us that too? She was like, "Yeah, I'll find you."
She will.
It was a writer, shit.
Rico Love.
Rico
Love. She called Rico.
Yeah, he's like, "Hello."
Yeah, but Kanye don't got no phone either, right?
I don't think so.
That man got a phone.
Why he gotta have a phone?
Because he be tweeting.
He be tweeting.
I feel like Kanye tells the person next to him.
Absolutely.
To tweet.
Absolutely.
Hey, person next to me.
No.
Tweet.
He screenshot his text messages and posted them. He has a phone.
He
see?
That. He got a phone.
Okay, he's not in that same world. Okay, that's three. Is that three? Beyonce, Salt,
SZA. SZA. Mm-hmm. Jasmine Sullivan.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. Love that.
Who else? We're doing artists, and then what are the other categories?
We're doing songs.
Songs next.
Songs.
Yeah. So you got one more artist.
One more artist.
Oh, one more artist. Steve. Lacey.
Ah.
You know, I'm rolling.
Having a moment.
I fuck with Steve Lacey.
Having
a moment.
I love
me some Steve. And like, I play his album like on repeat.
He's dope. He's dope.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. I like that. Okay. Your top five. Here we go. Your top five R&B songs.
Dangerously in Love.
Hmm.
Beyonce.
Love that song.
Masterpiece, Salt.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's Blind, SZA.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sunshine by Steve Lacy. Mm. I like can't get enough of that song.
Okay.
And then
Just give us a little vibe. I see it. You see? Is there? Just a little talent on R&B Money Podcast.
Just a little bit. But right now it's Sound of Rain.
Hmm.
Shalon, Sound of Rain.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Let's do something. We're going to build what we call.
Oh, wait. Inside My Love, Minnie Riperton.
All right.
Oh, wait.
Sign My Love, Minnie Riperton. Only because it's Minnie Riperton that you sneak that in. I mean, can't deny Minnie Riperton. We're going to make a Voltron.
What's that? A Transformer?
No.
Somewhat.
No.
Yes.
It's a robot?
It's not.
It's a robot.
But it's not a transformer. Okay, so back in the day, right? Voltron, there were these lions, right? And there was the red, white, blue, yellow, and black lion. And so
Power Rangers.
I love it.
No, they were lions. And people used to drive the lions, and they were out of space lions.
How are you going to drive a lion?
Exactly. You would get it. It's a machine lion. They were machines, but they were made like lions.
Like a transformer.
Right?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So, and people would, they would drive them and fly them, you know what I'm saying? And then to fight evil mm-hmm. Zoids and if things that were coming. And so when it was time to fight the big evil monster, all the lions would come together and form one big, like.
Transformer.
No, it's not a transformer. It's
what's the nigga that get all the little things?
I think this is Transformer and Power Ranger put together.
It's Voltron. It's Voltron. It's the five lions, and they come together to form Voltron.
Okay,
and he looks like a
is
human.
That the V Tyrese be doing?
I'm screaming.
He stole that. He stole that from the real Voltron. He don't even like Voltron.
I thought he stole it from Pharrell.
No, he stole it from Voltron. He's a thief. Anyway, we're going to make a Voltron.
Okay.
Okay? The best.
The best of the best.
The best of the best. All right, where are you going to get the vocals from, the performance style from, the styling from, and then the passion of the artist? We're going to start with the vocal. What artist are you taking the vocal from to make your Voltron? One artist.
I'm going to take the voice of Jasmine Sullivan.
Sound like it. Sound like the right one.
And then what else?
Here we go. Okay, I got you. Performance style.
Beyonce.
Okay, you're ready. You're ready. All right. Styling.
The clothes.
The drip.
Steve.
Lacey?
Yeah. He's dripped out.
Okay.
So you want like a singing dark Beyonce.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gothic.
Gothic.
Yeah.
No, gothic. He's not gothic.
Yeah, for us, he's gothic.
He's a little dark.
What? Yeah. No, I think
he got devil horns on his shit. He's.
Oh, no, dark. But that's not. No, you can't look at his style of clothing.
Hey, you know, listen.
He's fashion. No, but you're looking at his artwork. The artwork and the way he dressed is different.
They all kind of go together.
All right, here we go. And the passion of the artist, the heart.
Beyonce.
Double dose of B.
Yeah. We're not letting you off the hook.
Don't you do it.
We got a segment of this show
mm-hmm.
that you cannot leave here without doing.
Uh-oh.
Piano Man. Give me some theme music.
What is this?
You gonna hear it.
I ain't saying no names. I ain't saying no name where we was.
Where you was.
Who we with. What we did.
What you
don't
did.
Say shit.
Hey.
I ain't saying no names.
Yeah. Special segment of the show.
Yeah.
It's called I Ain't Saying No Names.
No names.
The story can be funny. Or fucked up. Or funny and fucked up.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
We would like it to be funny and fucked up.
Yeah.
But it's up to you.
Totally.
One rule in the game. There's only one rule in the game.
One rule.
You can't say no name.
No name.
Mm-hmm. You can give descriptions. You can do whatever. Yeah. Just you cannot say their name.
Okay.
So right now,
mm-hmm.
we are going to Justine Skies.
Mm-hmm.
Grownish, I ain't saying no names.
Let's go.
Ooh, this one's bad.
Okay.
No, I can't tell that one. That one's too crazy.
What
that
do
one's
you mean?
So
let's go.
Crazy.
You ain't saying no names.
We ain't saying no names.
Okay, fine. Okay. I'll tell half of the story. Okay, so this was like over COVID, and this is really bad. Oh, this is so bad, actually. You guys are going to feel really bad for me. Or I'm not. You're going to think I'm an idiot. But, okay, so I was, it was COVID, and it was like the beginning of it. We didn't know it was happening. And I was like, dating this person. And I'd like found out that he was like texting someone. So then I was like, you know what? And I was so crazy because I was with his brother earlier that day too. And I was like, I never want to be in this situation and blah, blah, blah. And then I went back to the house and there was just a computer screen that was just open. And I was like putting his keys down. I was like, that's crazy. It's just open on a text message. That's really insane. So I was like, I think it was maybe Kelly Rowland that I saw like say an interview, and she was like, just don't scroll up. Or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't her. I'm wrong person. But I saw something and there was like a woman saying like, just never, if you see like someone's phone open, just never scroll up. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna scroll up. And so I scrolled up. And what do you know? There's just like nudes and this and that. I was oh no. Ooh. Immediately called his mom and I was like, come get me.
You called his mama?
Yeah, I said, come get me. I gotta go. And then she was like, I'm so sorry. Like, this is all my fault. I raised him this way. I was like, that is a grown man. Like, he, whatever. And then, I called my other friend that lived in the same area. And I was like, come get me. Like, I have to leave. Like, blah, 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 whatever. I then, like, I bring the computer to the guy. And I'm like, this is you? Like, this is what you're doing? It's COVID. You're trying to cheat on me during COVID? Like, that's crazy. You're gonna go bring COVID back? Are you insane? And then he's like, why are you in my phone? And I was just like, that's what you have to say? And I was like, he was like, well, if you're so unhappy, then leave. And I was like, I am leaving, but I just wanted you to give you the opportunity. And he was like, whatever. Anyway, so then something happened. And this was like at a time where, like, because of COVID, like, we were doing like lives for brands and like mini performances. Mm-hmm. And so I had to do a performance for like Levi's or something. Mm-hmm. And I had to go live, and the time was coming, but all of this was happening, and I was like, shoot, like, I'm gonna have to do this performance here. Like, I have to set up, and like,
oh, you can't leave.
So I can't leave. And so, like, I'm like, this is the worst moment ever. So I'm sitting, I'm like, oh, like, and he's like, just do the performance here. And I was like, don't talk to me. Like, don't speak, actually, just shut up forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm just like, whatever. And then his brother and his mom come, and like, they're helping me, and he's just like, I don't know what the hell he's doing. They had to leave because they had to go do something or go home or whatever. And so I'm sitting there. I set up the phone, and then he, like, I press start, and then he comes into where I'm doing the live, sits in front of me while I'm singing, doing the performance.
So you gotta
and
sing
every time I finished a song, he would clap.
Oh, he's sick.
I'm not laughing.
It was horrible.
That was so sick. Horrible.
And then
he
like,
had to show you he's your number one fan.
And I'm on live, so I had to like pretend like nothing was happening. And it was just empty room, just him. And I'm like, you should rot in hell.
Yeah.
And then I left.
I think he's kind of funny.
I think it's very funny.
You think it's funny?
Listen.
That's
what's wrong with you.
Great.
Some shit is so bad. It's that it's so like, bad. You gotta laugh at it.
So bad. But you know what was really funny?
Okay.
Because when my birthday came around.
Get back.
Here we go.
When my birthday came around. Because at that point, I was like, I was long and gone. I was like, I left the whole state. I was like, goodbye. And then he reached out to all my friends, like trying to be like, I need to make this up to her. Like, I messed things up. Like, reached out to my managers at the time, all of my best friends. He was like, I need to come to LA and surprise her. And they were like, no, like, we don't think that's a good idea. Like, send flowers. So, haha, joke's on him.
Mm-hmm. So, no get back.
No get back.
No goodbye. Back. You're trash.
Oh, she found her camera, too.
She found her camera, too.
She know where the light at. She know where the light at.
Back. No, but when I look back at these moments, I'm like, honestly, like, you have to laugh. Like, it was traumatic in the moment, but it's like, and also I learned my lesson.
But that's like a scene in a movie.
No, don't scroll not up. Even.
That wasn't the lesson.
I thought it wasn't.
All right,
what was
cool.
the lesson?
I thought don't scroll up was the lesson.
Don't deal with people like that.
Have another place to perform? Like, what's the lesson?
But also, I've never had another venue, just in case. No, the lesson was, if I ever am dating someone and I feel the need that I need to look through their shit,
you probably shouldn't be.
I shouldn't be with them.
Mm. Fair.
That's fair. There it is.
That's the lesson.
That's fair.
I live
and
by
also
that.
Find a closer venue. No, I'm kidding.
I live by that. If I got to look, check after you, run after you.
It ain't worth it.
I don't have the time.
Yeah.
Well, that was
by
good.
The way, I've never told that story before.
That's great.
So great story.
We thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here at the R&B Money Podcast. That might be top two.
Yeah.
That might be top
Who's
two.
Top one?
I ain't saying no name. No, I'm saying it's between you.
It's between you.
And you don't want to say who else.
No. It's between you and somebody else for top spot. I ain't saying no names. Great recovery.
That was a really good one.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming and turning up with the old people.
Me.
Well, I'm old. He young.
You're not old.
You know,
I like being old.
They always ask if he my son. That's how you know.
I can see it.
But thank you. You always got a home at R&B Money. You know that. And we will continue to support you, uplift you, shine the light on you, whatever you need us to do. We are here. We are at your disposal. Continue to be great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Continue to be grown-ish. and keep the music coming.
Thank you.
I know you're acting bag is crazy. You know what I'm saying? And you know.
But she owns Collide.
She owns it.
Run it up. You know what I mean? Them other songs, whatever one she owns.
No, Dark Side. Go to the dark side.
The whole Dark Side. You stream it. You buy it.
Make TikToks to it.
Make TikToks to it.
Come on, TikTok. Tell them.
Come on, TikTok. TikTok. Come on. Ticketing.
Get out of here.
All right. My name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B. And this has been the beautiful, the awesome, the talented, the Justine Skye.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.